Hello, and welcome to the business of podcasting. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. Here, each week, I'll sit down with one of the leaders in podcasting to find out how they're using this fantastic form of content marketing to connect with their audience, grow their brand, and ultimately build their business. If you're not already podcasting, then today is the day to start, and here we'll show you how. Okay, let's get on with the show. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Business of Podcasting. Today we have two guests on the show from the Endurance Planet podcast, Tawny Prazak and John Gibson. Guys, how you doing?
Hi, it's great to be on. I'm so stoked that you reached out and we get a chance to do this.
Absolutely. John, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. As I mentioned before, Tawny's the microphone hog.
I'm usually
not on the mic. I'm behind the scenes.
We don't want to be the source of friction here, so we'll...
No. Actually, Craig, when you asked me to come on, I was like, it just doesn't feel right to do this show without John, because as our podcast, Endurance Planet, has grown over the past handful of years, so much of it has been John in the background doing everything. So I get to like take all the credit and look pretty, you know, with all the nice things that are coming out and the great shows and whatnot. But it's kind of John running the show in the background. So it's only appropriate to have him on as well.
It's the only time I get to tell Tawny what to do.
There you go. There you go. So that's a really cool place to start. We don't have a whole lot of shows with multiple hosts, especially with like a little bit different responsibilities. Can you talk about like what role each of you kind of take in the podcast and in your business?
Well, I'll start because I kind of have a deeper history with the show. And the show actually began well before I became host. So there actually is only one host of the show. I am the only host of the show. It was started in 2006 by Kevin Patrick. And then Ben Greenfield took it over in 2010, I think it was. Ben and I became friends when we were both freelancing for someone out in Kona for the Ironman World Championships. He didn't want to host the podcast because he had his own podcast that he was growing. Asked me to host the podcast, you know, while he kind of ran the business side. I was like, heck yeah, that sounds so cool and interesting. So I started that in 2011. You know, and then Ben's thing started to grow tremendously, and he's finding a ton of success in his niche and his world and his podcast. So, and meanwhile, I was becoming more and more ingrained in Endurance Planet. You know, at first I thought it was just going to be like a fun little side project, but not actually like my business necessarily. And then that quickly changed. And before I knew it, it was, you know, consuming so much of my time, and I enjoyed it. I loved it. It's everything. And connecting with the athletes and the guests has just been incredible. So, we came to the conclusion that it was time to then hand over the reins to me, and that happened in 2014. The whole process took quite a while, and that's really when John started to come in. You know, John is a business attorney, so having him at that time as my boyfriend, then he became my fiance, now my husband, was super helpful, because taking over this business, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just own it. No big deal. I mean, I'm already doing everything anyways, but there was so much more to it. And I realized now, looking back these last couple years, I was so unorganized and, you know, spending way much more time doing everything than I needed to be, and, you know, terrified of outsourcing for any help and taking on, you know, wearing all the hats, including audio editing, which is absolutely not my forte. And since then, you know, since 2014, you know, we still have Ben come on the show. We're still great friends, and John and I are now running this business, and we have some people helping us, and it's, I don't think it could go more smoothly right now.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Right. That's, you don't hear that very often. That's really amazing. Kudos to both of you.
Thank you.
Tawny doesn't know that it doesn't go smoothly. I just fake it and make it look like
from the way I was running it back in like 2011 and 12, I don't even like people listening to those shows, let alone what was actually going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. So when I met Tawny, or when we met, she was probably 6 months into hosting the podcast. And I didn't really know much about podcasts, but I do have a background in business and marketing, business development. I'm an attorney by trade. That's one of the many things I do, a business attorney for small businesses. So when I started looking at, you know, what she was doing, I started listening to the podcast and getting more interested in podcasting and seeing how it was relevant to things I had done in the publishing industry and things like that, and that it was kind of ripe for a lot of opportunity and a lot of growth. So I just kind of behind the scenes, just kind of guiding her along. And she was literally wearing all the hats back in that day, to even to the point of signing up and dealing with advertisers and stuff like that. And it was, yeah, a lot of work. And she was just getting busier and busier with her coaching business and wanted to do a lot of other things. So around the time where she took it over, I think I started getting just a little bit involved, especially with the transition, to start kind of looking at it and saying, okay, what do we need to transition? Who needs to, you know, what needs to be done? What needs to be handed over? Making sure things were clean. And I think after about 6 months of her running it kind of on her own, I think I just started looking at it and thinking, you know what, this is just going to be a money suck if some things don't get changed. And while it's potentially a great platform for her coaching business and other things, to me, in my mind, there's no reason why a podcast shouldn't be sustainable. And there's just so many different business models that a podcast can use. It's just a matter of picking the best one and you know, trying to keep costs down and you know, generate some revenue one way or another.
Yeah, we really talk about that a lot, that you know, a lot of folks get stuck at building you know, a good audience and then look at, you know, sort of monetizing or putting their podcast and their audience to work, and a lot of times get stuck in that bit of transition. But we look at it as there's two ways to monetize a podcast. One is directly with advertising, which is not the way that most podcasts make most of their money. Most of them make it through sort of propping up the rest of their business and selling courses or products or coaching or software or whatever it is. So be interested to hear how that kind of evolution worked for you guys to say, you know, from looking at it and saying, this is a lot of fun and probably good for my business, but isn't really bringing home the bacon, to now, you know, a very successful podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it started with, I mean, I think you kind of just talked about the two basic categories of ways to monetize podcasts. I think within the advertising realm, there's a lot more. So I think the nice thing was that, you know, previous owners of the podcast had, you know, gotten some affiliate things set up, affiliate arrangements where, you know, they get a cut of the revenue for any sales that are generated through the podcast. They, Tawny had a couple advertisers, one or two at the time, that were helping to defray some of the cost. So what we really started looking at was not just how to maximize the monetary potential of it, but how do we partner with companies that we believe in that can generate the kind of revenue to make this a sustainable business? Because we didn't want to sacrifice the integrity of the podcast more importantly, Tawny's reputation.
That's really, really important to me, because at this point we've had offers to have more general mainstream commercial type of brands come on. And it's not what Endurance Planet is about. It's about actually finding genuinely helpful things for our listeners that they can trust, that we did, you know, the research and the due diligence to make sure everything that, you know, we advertise or recommend on the show is something we, you know, recommend for ourselves, our family and friends and all that kind of stuff. And that actually makes it a bit harder, because our show is such a niche show with being endurance sports. And, you know, a lot of these companies that we work with barely have any money to spend on advertising themselves. So it's definitely made for an interesting kind of relationships that we build with people.
Yeah, I was in a former life a decent endurance participant. I wouldn't even call myself an athlete, but you know, I competed in some Ironmans and marathons and ultramarathons and stuff. And the crowd is one of the most discerning, well-educated crowds I've ever run across. I mean, they rival some of the real techie kind of folks in how educated they are and how much they care about everything they do. So I think that the task you guys had of really aligning yourself with your audience and staying true to yourself and your brand was maybe more important than some other shows and niches.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll also add that too, you know, you mentioned people on podcasts selling products or their services, and what, you know, is never my intention, and still isn't to this day, to either sell a coaching package or advertise my coaching, you know, because my actual job is being an endurance coach and, you know, kind of also in the health space and the nutrition space. Transcend just, you know, writing workouts Monday through Sunday for people. But it's not something I really want to use the show to be. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me. You know, the show's there for people to use. If they like what they hear from me, they can contact me. And thankfully in that sense, you know, my voice has reached international audiences. So people who do like what they hear from me are able to get in touch with me, know that I exist. And it's allowed me to be coach people worldwide, you know, as far as Russia and Indonesia and Australia and Bahrain. So it's kind of cool in that sense. But I don't know. I mean, I think we, John and I both agree that it was never really our intention to make Endurance Planet about, hey, this is Coach Tawny's service platform.
Yeah. I mean, there's never any advertisements or direct mentions about, you know, Tawny's, you know, giving 10% off her coaching services. I mean, if anything, that's a problem, right? I mean, it's I think the bigger problem we have is that we can't really replicate Tawny, and she can only take so many athletes a certain time. So that makes it difficult. So then it kind of, you know, the two prongs of the I guess revenue play or revenue models, you know, one we talked about was the advertising, and I kind of went through some of the things we do there to make it sustainable. On the other side of it, like I said, it's a marketing platform for coaching, Tawny's coaching business. But then it's about, okay, how can we, you know, if this is going to end up costing us money to run the podcast anyway, how do we generate revenue in other ways besides Tawny's coaching business? Because she just can't coach, you know, an infinite number of people. It's not necessarily scalable from a services perspective. So, you know, then you start looking at other things that can be done. And instead of full-time coaching clients, Tawny does a lot of consulting, which I know she really loves.
Yeah.
Because she's become, through the podcast and through her learnings and, you know, being a scientist to some degree and uncovering new ways of helping people out, she's become an expert and sought after. So the more people we can help, the better.
Yeah. I'll offer more like a la carte, if you will. If someone just wants the nutrition, someone just wants a race plan or I offer all those things separately than my full-time coaching packages.
But that's also limited to her time. So then it's about, okay, what else can we do to reach more people? Because that's a limited number of people. So we're actually just now launching a new website, subscription-based, that basically gives access to a lot of the know-how, not necessarily training related, but more lifestyle related around how to basically live a better life. So we're right in the middle now of actually, should be officially launched by the time this podcast airs. So
That's very exciting.
It's called Life Post Collective, and that's lifepostcollective.com. And you can check it out and give us any feedback on it. It's it'll have basically, I think best way to describe it is probably Tawny's years and years of experience and know-how and
research
help people to kind of answer some of the questions or help them to live a more fulfilling life, if that doesn't sound too cheesy.
That's awesome. You know, one of the things we've noticed, Craig, is that as I've taken over as host, my interests have actually gone much more into the health space, functional health space and nutrition for athletes, you know, sort of transcending just athlete interviews and things of that nature. And it's clear that other people are interested in this too. It's filling a gap that is, you know, there's some people talking about it, absolutely, but you know, there's not a lot of it going on. And it's something I'm super passionate about, but we're seeing the numbers also increase in our downloads. So, you know, we know that the response is there. People are liking it. And that really, I think, kind of triggered this idea for Life Post Collective, because it can be more, you know, we have a lot of Q&A kind of shows, and I can't get to all the questions. There's just hundreds that come through, thousands at this point. And so Life Post Collective can kind of be that place where people can come and interact and get things answered and figure out, you know, more about how to live this healthy lifestyle and, you know, integrate sport into it. But again, like John said, the Life Post Collective isn't necessarily sport specific. It's just might be a component of it.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the podcast has, you know, started as really about endurance sports and doing as well as you can, but it's kind of transitioned into more of a how to do that sustainably.
Yeah.
This is where Tawny starts saying, you know, a number of times, is a drinking game whenever John says sustainable or process. I'm all about sustainability. So,
sustainability of the podcast itself has allowed you guys to sort of evolve your business, right? If the podcast wasn't sustainable 2 years ago, you probably wouldn't be at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And if we were spending a ton of time trying to drive revenue and not have the processes in place and stuff to you know, more efficiently run the podcast, then we'd be spending so much time on the podcast that Tawny wouldn't be able to take, you know, wouldn't be able to have to take less clients and make less money. So it's just kind of, it's kind of an upward spiral, downward spiral thing, as far as I'm concerned. You know, when you get one piece of it figured out, like we did a couple years ago with the podcast, then it just seems to build other things. And, you know, like Tawny said, we get, we get approached. I can't, you know, the number of emails I get about people wanting to advertise on the show, that really helps out because they see that we're doing a, you know, a good service and we have a good reputation and they want to be part of it. We can't and won't take them all just because of the way it lines up or doesn't line up with the values of the podcast. But that's nice. That's helpful. You know, we built a good reputation. That means I don't have to be on the phone all the time chasing down advertisers and things of that nature. You know, they see the value of the podcast and they're coming to us instead of even us paying somebody to do ad sales, to try to make up for their salary as well as generate revenue for the podcast.
Can you guys talk sort of generally, you know, don't give away all the family secrets, but you know, you talked about, you know, advertising and affiliates and these different types of kind of sub categories of directly monetizing your show. Can you talk about what your experience has been with them? And, you know, for somebody who has a good audience, maybe like you guys do, but hasn't kind of directly monetized their show, kind of what your approach has been and what you learned?
Yeah. This is fun. I get to talk on the podcast.
Yes, so way more. You're so when I first started doing advertising back when Ben still owned the show, I hate to say it, I was miserable doing it. It's again, it was nothing that I ever really wanted to do. I understood that it started and was starting to be necessary for the show sustainability, but it's tough. So yeah, then John took it over and I was like, whew. Thank God.
Well, and that's why it's such a unique opportunity for me and for the folks who listen to the show, because there's not, unfortunately, a ton of shows that are successful enough to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Let's put this in perspective too. I mean, Endurance Planet is a smaller podcast. It's more of a niche podcast. You know, we have looked at different ad networks and things of that nature to get some revenue coming in, but it doesn't fit the vibe. So I think the answer is what we did first of all was kind of define the values of the podcast. What do we stand for? What are the products that we want to promote, or type of products that we want to promote?
Our services.
And then it just came down to, you know, understanding how many of those we really needed, along with different affiliate relationships, and you know, it in some stages of the podcast, even support directly from the listeners in the form of donations. Though we don't really do that anymore, or get a lot of that. But anyway, kind of taking this question down five different roads. I think it starts with the value of the podcast or values of the podcast, and determining what you stand for, and then figuring out the best revenue streams from there. If it is just another business that you're promoting, you know, there's quite a few podcasts out there right now that have a decent following, and they're going down the route of developing a supplement or secondary products or stores or whatever that they're promoting on their own. If they decide they just want to run advertising, then you see a lot of, you know, especially larger podcasts that are doing just, you know, unaffiliated, that's probably a bad word, advertisers that are no different than TV advertisers, where it doesn't really have any correlation to the show that you're watching. It's just a, you know, a fast food chain or you know, some online retailer or something that's paying a lot of money, but because these podcasts have the reach and the listener base, then they can get quite a bit of money off of any given show.
I love hearing the FreshBook ads on, you know, a dozen different podcasts. It's like, this is not in alignment with your crowd, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And like I said, I mean, I think Endurance Planet is pretty unique in the podcast realm, just because we don't, until really now, we haven't had anything to sell in the podcast, but we didn't want to jeopardize the reputation of the host, especially for such a niche podcast. But I think that's unique to Endurance Planet. If I'm, you know, what are the big podcasts these days?
Like,
you know,
Serial
was big for a while, or Joe Rogan or something like that. Like they can just, you know, whoever Ford wants to advertise on their, on their podcast, whatever, that's fine. I don't know that would fit in with something that Endurance Planet would do, because the return we get for our advertisers is based upon the credibility of the podcast, the credibility of Tawny to say, this is something that I use, that I believe in, that you should go use. I don't think in mass market type of marketing, you see that a whole lot, or you get the opportunity to do that a whole lot.
Yeah. I'll add to that too. You know, when I first started dabbling with this a little bit, it's like, well, how do you even figure out how much you should charge an advertiser? And there was such limited information on that point. And you're looking at, was it CPM? Mm-hmm. So like how many people are listening and find your value rate based on that. But then if you're still a small show attracting small companies, it's like throw that out the window and just adjust to, for me, it was like, whatever someone's willing to pay, I'll take it in the beginning. But then there was the conversation of, well, what distinguishes advertising versus affiliates? And for a lot of these smaller companies, affiliate deals make much more sense for them because they're not really necessarily paying for advertising, but they will just give you a cut of whatever sell that you make or sale that you make. So, you know, that looks good to them. The ideal for us is to have, you know, both, like have someone who wants to advertise, you know, have, you know, get that word of mouth out. What we really try to emphasize is that, you know, one advertisement is not going to do it for you. You need to like plant the seed. Like if you remember Serial podcast, they had what was the monkey or the
oh yeah, the email MailChimp.
Yeah, MailChimp. Yeah. And yeah, they had MailChimp going.
They're getting all sorts of free plugs on your show now.
That's right.
You know, but you really want to emphasize that it takes a while for that to really get ingrained in the listeners' heads before like, okay, I've heard this enough. Maybe I should just give it a try. And sometimes affiliate deals aren't even enough because they're sort of can get lost in there, you know. So there, I think distinguishing all those things, depending on what your target market is important. And having the conversations with the potential advertisers or affiliates is important as well.
Yeah. Well, I think it also comes down to the other thing we did that while we were kind of defining the values of the podcast, even before then, it was figuring out what does the podcast actually cost?
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
a good point.
There's, you know, hosting fees there. If you have somebody that edits the podcast, because it's not my forte or Tani's forte, and we were interested in having good sound quality. So we have somebody that hosts the podcast. We have people that help out in a couple different roles, even, you know, for scheduling podcasts, things of that nature. And these aren't full-time employees or anything, but it all starts to add up to the point where you need to figure out, okay, this podcast is costing me, you know, X dollars a month. I, you know, should probably look to generate revenue for at least that much. So I'm not, you know, in the red, yeah, every month and trying to figure out how I'm gonna make money off this thing. So, yeah. And that was kind of our goal. I think when I first came on the podcast now a year and a half ago, I wouldn't call it full time because none of us do it full time, but we're as full time as any on the podcast. When I started coming on, my first thing was, this doesn't need to make a lot of money because these other marketing opportunities, it needs to pay for itself. And above and beyond that, if it does make money, then that's great. Then we can invest it back in the podcast for, you know, to try to get new listeners, try to, you know, make the sound quality even better, whatever the case may be. There's for this podcast. Yeah. Hosting events. We've done that. We've done some Ragnar relays with listeners where they'll come and we'll kind of host them over a 200-mile running race through Southern California, which has been great. But those are fun things we want to do that the podcast allows us to do with listeners that can come hang out with Tawny and other, you know, co-hosts that she has come on every once in a while.
So. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's quite talking about CPM. I think that there's more and more a push to say, you know, yeah, I understand this is your kind of cost per thousand download rate, but our audience is so sort of aligned with our message and has, you know, for an advertiser, so much more sort of buying intent than a general entertainment show that the published CPM doesn't always apply. I don't know if you guys have run into that, but that's sort of what we're seeing more and more from some of our shows that do advertising is that they're kind of going outside the box to say, you know, I can dictate what the CPM is because I know that our the result you'll get from this advertising is better because our audience does X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, for sure. And that comes down to, you know, our advertising partners have really become partners in the true sense of it, not just, you know, something you call them.
We have them over for lunch when they're in town kind of thing.
They're friends. Yeah. We're in the neighborhood. Yeah. We're hanging out with them mainly because they see the podcast as a great way to market their wares. They have the same values that we do and they're fun people to hang out with. And most importantly, you know, we're sharing numbers back and forth and I can see what kind of revenue they're generating off the podcast and give them a return on investment for it. And when they see that and I know that, we're both really happy. And it's not a, you know, don't share numbers because they're afraid we're going to raise the rates or, you know, whatever, or I'm going to ask, or they're going to, you know, use that information against me. It's, we're truly working together to try to drive better products or services to the listeners. And it works out pretty well. I mean, we've had a lot of success with you know, advertisers that have been long-term advertisers. And and if, when that's the case, you don't have to worry about getting new advertisers all the time either.
Not just success with advertisers. Man, I get weekly emails, well, we all do, who are getting the emails, of people who are finding so much success just with the information, the content that we're putting out. It blows my mind, and I don't even care if this podcast is in the red, because the amount of people I've helped at this point, and my guests, of course, not just me, is incredible. You know, and people overcoming health issues or figuring out a better way to do things that promotes longevity in sport and stuff, and that alone, I'll keep doing this for as long as I can for that reason alone.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. If it was losing money month to month, depending on how much it was and if we could support that, we'd probably continue to keep it going. My concern more specifically was if it wasn't sustainable, it'd be easier down the road to say this has got to end. And I'd hate to see something that's such a service and so revered by so many people just go away.
Yeah, no.
I mean, at some point, you know, Tawny's right. I mean, right now, thankfully, because of the way we kind of structured everything, even if the podcast was losing money or not breaking even, we could afford to do it, and we still love to do it, and it's something that we want to spend time doing. But that gets tough if, you know, whatever, if something happens in Tawny's business or, you know, yeah, something in that case, then this thing could just die, and I'd rather... I always tell Tawny, she hates this phrase and it sounds so stupid.
I
tell her that as far as I'm concerned, we're just the custodian of this podcast at this point. There have been two other people that have run and owned this thing. And I don't expect, I hope, but I don't expect that we're going to have this thing forever. At some point, it's going to be turned over to somebody else. And I'd much rather turn something over that's in such a good state that it is sustainable, or more importantly, can grow even more, because yeah, I'm sure there's smarter people than us out there that could figure out a way to take this thing to the next level.
I think that's a great point. I mean, just making it sustainable so that you can continue to serve your audience is a great way to look at it. I think that, you know, a lot of people have these kind of pipe dreams of making a whole bunch of money off of their show. And it's probably not the case for the vast majority of people. But if you can sort of make it self-sustaining and maybe make a little bit of money so you can grow it and the things that surround it, then that's a job well done, I think.
Yeah. Well, I listen to a ton of podcasts, and it's funny to just, as the business person on Endurance Planet, look at their revenue models or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to see that dynamic, because I'll listen to very wide audience podcasts. I'll listen to very small audience podcasts. I'll listen to mass marketers, niche marketers, that are advertising on them, as well as shows. One of my favorite, I'm a big beer guy. So one of my favorite shows is The Beerists, and they just sit around drinking beer, and they're very entertaining.
I don't even drink beer, but it's a good show.
they refuse to take advertisement from their
just listener
from any advertisers. So yeah, it's listener supported. So they're doing other things, even like Patreon, where you can subscribe to, you know, personalized content, that's separate from the regular podcast. So they're even figuring out other revenue models. They wouldn't call it that, but that's what it is. It's a revenue model, trying to figure out a way to make this thing sustainable. But they love doing it so much, and it's such a part of their life.
They'll be doing it
anyway. Yeah.
So Craig, you didn't mention that actually before, you know, you're talking about revenue models, like the whole listener supported style of Patreons and donations and stuff. Do you see in the people that you've interviewed, I'm curious, like, do you feel like that's something that's worthwhile, helpful, or maybe just not worth the time and effort? It doesn't really work out quite well.
Yeah, I think it falls in the sort of general entertainment niche. It is where it can be successful. I think that for like a business podcast or like yours or endurance athletes or something, the volume is probably not there to make it really sustaining. Personally, I don't like the, you know, sort of like preacher on a Sunday passing around the bowl kind of feeling when I'm listening to a podcast. I don't like being asked to sort of contribute. I think there should be much more private sort of closed door podcasting where, you know, if you want this episode, you have to come to my website and pay for it. And I would pay for a lot of those. But that's my personal belief. I think that the membership site version of podcasting should exist a lot more than it does. And it could be something that grows in the future. But I think that's a no-brainer for a lot of people. You know, three of the episodes are free. The fourth one, if you want it, go to the website and sign up and listen to it there.
Yeah, you sound like people in the 70s. I'll never pay for TV. Now we all pay for TV.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is there's no cable, right? There's no central place to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And quite frankly, maybe there's just not enough. I mean, I still find myself telling people what a podcast is. You know, I'll meet somebody and talk about it. Oh, yeah, Tony hosts a podcast. I help on the biz. What's a podcast?
Right.
Well, yeah. Okay. We have less of that these days because it seems to have grown quite quickly. But there's still a lot of people that are like, wait, what's a podcast? Like, well, it's kind of like on-demand radio, and you go through that whole thing, and they're like, wait, I don't get it. I'm like, okay. Still have that. So there's still some growth left.
Yeah, no, we see it. I mean, on the business side for us, we see it growing hugely, and with not even just really progressive brands. You know, we see some pretty mainstream folks coming to podcasting, lawyers, and it's cool. It's a nice time to be in podcasting for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, I got into this again at the beginning of 2011 when it was kind of in its infancy still. Like, that's when I didn't even really know what a podcast was. And I got in at the right time in a way because the growth we've seen and me finding my voice back then when no one was listening. And now that they are listening, I've found my voice has really been good.
Yeah, I think for the beginner out there, you have to assume the first 10 episodes of your show are going to be horrible and just go ahead and record them and throw them away. And just know that it takes a while to find, like you said, your voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff though.
Cool. Cool. So guys, thanks so much. Can you share with folks again, kind of where they can find out about the show and some of the new things you have going on?
Yeah, so it's Endurance Planet. Endurance Planet is offered on all the apps, so iTunes, Overcast, all those.
Your favorite podcast catcher.
Yeah, your favorite podcast catcher. And then we have our website, enduranceplanet.com. That just got a makeover last year as well. It hadn't for years and years. I think the original logo was still up there from 2006. So we did an overhaul on that last year. I'm working harder these days on making sure show notes are really well filled out. You know, I'm taking notes vigorously as I'm recording with people. So it's a resource there.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram,
social media.
Endurance Planet is the handle on each of those.
Super easy, Endurance Planet. And then Life Post Collective was the other thing that we mentioned. That's going to be the side project that we're starting. And even like you said, Craig, you know, like I'm going to be doing a lot of webinars and, you know, face-to-face time or videos and things of that nature that I guess you could sort of technically qualify as a podcast in a way that will be available for our members. And, you know, a lot of it will be based on things that people want to have answered. So, yeah, we're really excited for that. You know, we've spent a lot of time, you know, envisioning what we wanted out of this website, and it's pretty cool. So, yeah, Life Post Collective. And then lastly, my coaching, if anyone wants to get a hold of me, I'm at Coach Tawny, and that's TAWNEE, CoachTawny.com.
Awesome. Guys, we'll link to all this stuff in the show notes for the episode. But John and Tawny, thank you guys so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. You did a great job.
Yeah, thanks.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. To find out more and check out all of the previous episodes, head on over to podcastmotor.com/show. I'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a rating and review in iTunes, please let me know what you think of the show. The ratings and reviews help us get more exposure to the show and bring on more awesome guests. All right, we'll see you next time.